Everybody, it's Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, and welcome to another episode of Around Town. This is a special Chicago Jazz Festival Around Town. Of course, the Jazz Fest is happening in Millennium Park and the Cultural Center, September 1st through the 4th, and I'm happy to have Ethan Fillion on. He's got this incredible project, Meditations on Mingus, which is a 10-piece group ensemble. Wait till we talk about it. It's a fascinating about the background of it, how he put the whole thing together. And you can actually hear them play live at the Chicago Jazz Fest, September 2nd on the Prixter Pavilion at 4:15 p.m. And of course, the Jazz Fest is free right there in Millennium Park. All the information we have on chicagojazz.com. And Ethan, welcome to the show. I'm so glad that we're able to do this. I know you and I met over at Epiphany when you did a performance for the Jazz Institute recently, and it's pretty exciting having this entire project just come out August 26th on Sunnyside Records and be featured at the Chicago Jazz Fest on September 2nd. I mean, how about timing, huh?
It's a great week, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Meditations on Mingus. I mean, reading about it, I read what you have online. Obviously, I think I heard some of it that night over at the Jazz that the Jazz Institute did at Epiphany. But I love the background story of it. So how did you, obviously, you're a bass player. You love doing, you know, Charles Mingus. I'm sure in general, you love Charles Mingus. But the whole social aspect, I mean, it rings true these days, even as it did when Charles Mingus was around. And talk a little bit about how the project came about.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, as a bassist, Mingus is always, you know, kind of towered as a titan of the bass, as well as I think, you know, one of the most important composers in music history and certainly in jazz history. So he's always been a large influence as a bassist and composer. But a couple of years ago, I went through a period where I was listening to his sextet from the 60s with Dolphy. You know, they performed a series of European concerts, many of which are online, as well as a couple of albums. And I was going through a period of just listening to that group all the time. And at the same time, I was thinking a lot about how Mingus's music is still very relevant today. Not only does the music sound modern still, but also the themes that he wrote music about and spoke about as kind of the reason that he was expressing himself through music are, I think, still really prevalent today. So he talked a lot about racism and prejudice. He talked about, I think, what we would term today mental health. In the way that he kind of talked about his experiences just as a human, but especially as a Black man at that time. And in particular, one piece I kept coming back to and listening, and that was this piece, Meditation on a Pair of Wire Cutters, which is a piece that he wrote to kind of express this idea that we need to let people out of oppressive situations, because if we don't, it leads to violence. And he had kind of come to that theme by learning about these labor camps in the South that incarcerated Black men and women for long periods of time and made them live in, you know, really horrible conditions. And while I was, you know, listening to this music all the time, thinking about that, there were so many stories in the news about the conditions of ICE camps at the border. And of course, there's always so many stories out there about America's incarceration problem, how we incarcerate so many people and that the conditions there are, you know, really horrible. And so I was thinking about that theme of how we need to treat people with kindness. We need to let people out of bad conditions, because if we don't, it just leads to bad things down the line. And I think that's like, that's just a really true message that we see repeat throughout history. And so I felt compelled to play this music because I was listening to it all the time. I was thinking about the themes. And luckily at the time I was at DePaul studying under the direction of Dana Hall, who led a 10-piece band. And I thought that would be a great size band to work with for this music, because it has the elements of a small ensemble that let the band kind of weave in and out of these different improvisational approaches, but it also could sound like a huge giant orchestra, right? And that's a thing that I love about Mingus's music. When he orchestrates it for a lot of people, you feel the weight of a lot of people, right? And so I transcribed and arranged that piece. And it felt really great to play. It felt great to express the ideas in that piece to an audience and to have that music be received. And so moving forward, I thought this would be a great project, and it just kind of has grown from there.
Well, I mean, you know, it's well, first of all, Dana Hall, being able to study under the direction of Dana Hall, that's something in itself. I mean, he's a genius musician, obviously. And being able to put this project together and do it just with one song had to be a massive undertaking, because it's a 10-piece ensemble. You're arranging this music, you're putting this together. And I mean, and then to go on and create an entire recording behind it. I mean, how long was the process, and how did you go about selecting the repertoire? Because that's Mingus's catalog is huge, obviously, and being able to, you know, refine it and then also find those things that not only work towards, you know, the theme, the social justice theme, but also be able to work with a 10-piece ensemble.
Absolutely. So the process took a long time, because I transcribed these pieces. That took a long time. You know, a lot of these pieces are really dense, complicated. So that was like just a great learning experience. It was so, I mean, it took a lot of time and it was hard work, but it felt amazing to be like kind of intimate with the music in this different way, where you're really trying to hear every part of it all the way through. Pieces that I already knew, I thought, as intimately as I could, but to gain this other understanding was really fun. But it took several months to transcribe and arrange. Then in terms of choosing the pieces, like you mentioned, the discography is vast. So the premise that I went into with it was I wanted to find pieces that spoke to things that I was thinking about in our current world, right? And this was in 2017, 2018, but I think, you know, most things are equally true now, you know? So I wanted that to be the case. And I wanted the pieces to be songs that I felt like we could perform in a way where we'd be adding something to them, right? Because Mingus's compositions and his albums are sort of sacred to me. So to just play it like that and try to just kind of do that felt wrong. But to like totally revamp a song also felt kind of wrong. So I wanted to find pieces where I thought, you know, we could add this. I can kind of bring this Chicago sound or this sound of these musicians or this concept I'm thinking about. This is going to work in harmony with the music that I am hearing on the record and studying. And so with that, I came to this collection of pieces, which you hear on the record. So the themes are kind of varied. There are a lot of themes like Meditation on a Pair of Wire Cutters that kind of deal with issues of racism and racial injustice. But then there are also titles that allude to things like mental health or to economic inequality and things like that. And so all the pieces are a great way to, I feel like, connect with this tradition that Mingus left, but also to encourage audiences to be thinking about how jazz in general, and I think this music in particular, encourages reflection on the things that are wrong in the world, but also like a hope that things can get better.
You know, I love what you said was, and this is goes right in line with what I love as well, is you're taking this repertoire, you're arranging it a certain way, but then you're giving your own voice to it, or you're allowing the ensemble to give their own voice to it, which, you know, obviously repertory ensembles they're great. I mean, you get to see exactly the way it would have been played by the original artist, hopefully. But when you do something like this and the arrangements and you're taking such care in it, I love the fact that you're adding your own voice to it. Mm-hmm. How difficult though was it? Because you're taking Charles Mingus's music and then you're suggesting other musicians, of course, you got top-notch musicians on this entire recording to add their voice to it. I mean, was it meticulous when you guys, how much rehearsing did you have to do? I mean, what was the process and just the recording of it? Because this is not easy music to be playing and sitting down and running through a session in the afternoon, knocking out 8 tunes. I mean, this is a project.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it was easier than you might think, because the musicians that I chose are musicians who I selected because I knew that they always bring their individuality and their expression to every setting that I've heard them in, right? So I think that's true of every musician in the band. And also I knew it was musicians who love this music and were going to check it out and make sure that, you know, they were prepared. So we did some rehearsal. We played Hyde Park Jazz Fest the day before we recorded, which was great to get just the music kind of like in our veins, you know, from a performance perspective. And then, yeah, we just we recorded in one long day and everybody did a really great job with it.
You brought up a great point though, is that you played the Hyde Park Jazz Fest And then not only did the musicians get to experience it, playing it through, they couldn't stop, which means you're barreling through it, but you also got the audience reaction to it.
Absolutely.
Which probably really helped the musicians really buy into it when you went into the studio, because you got that reaction. So now you know you have something special here. So that was a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, that was the goal. Yeah, exactly. So, because that's, you know, that's why we do it. We do it for the reaction, for the way it feels. And the, you know, that happens within the band when we're rehearsing or recording, but it's certainly amplified by having an audience there. And then the other thing I'd add on top of that is, in terms of approaching it and saying we're going to be individuals, a nice thing about, or an amazing thing, I think, about Mingus's music is that it was constantly shifting throughout his lifetime, because the thing that he was after above all else is that idea of self-expression in the moment, right? He wanted to describe himself as he was real in that time, and he wanted his musicians to do the same. And he was angry with musicians when they weren't doing that, right? And so with that premise in mind, I wanted to encourage that same thing. Like, we're not trying to sound like that. We're trying to achieve some of those same sensations and feelings as a unit through our collective improvisation and our work together. But I want every musician to express that.
You didn't have to beat anybody up like Charles Mingus would have, right?
I did not do any physical intimidation. Yeah, that wasn't a part of my approach.
For those of you that don't know, do a YouTube search, and there's tons of stories about Charles Mingus making sure everybody was on board with the way he wanted to do things. And if you weren't on board, then you were going to hear about it in certain ways. But anyways, a genius musician. So this is Meditations on Mingus. You can hear it live September 2nd at the Jazz Fest, Friday, 4:15 p.m. at the Prixter Pavilion. And it's free. Also available at ethanfillion.com. It is out now on Sunnyside Records. So you should go check it out, pick it up. His website, by the way, it tells a great background story of the whole project and the process of and all of that, in addition to being able to go pick it up and take a listen to it as well. So putting this group together, you guys did something at the Jazz Institute. Now you're doing something at the Jazz Fest. But, you know, you also did this, and I'm backtracking a little bit, but this is an organization that's near and dear to my heart, because I used to help market it and promote it on Chicago Jazz Magazine's the Lumen Arts Society through through the club. And you were a fellow, right? You won the fellowship in 2020.
Yes.
Did that help in any way to push this forward? Because I know they give you a certain scholarship amount of money to be able to push out projects like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, yeah, I applied for a grant through them specifically that they make available to their fellowship winners for this project.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, their support was a big part of being able to fund this massive undertaking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, that organization, for those of you that don't know, I'll link it up in the description, but the Lumen Arts Society. They are an incredible group, put together originally by one guy, and then he started it and just kept pushing it forward. And now it's turned into a wonderful thing. It has pushed a lot of Chicago artists and allowed them to get funding for projects that you normally would never be able to do without that funding. And it's impossible to get funding, but this group is really incredible. So everybody should check that out. I know they always have like the finals and the contests and things like that at Buddy Guys or Jazz Showcase usually. So, but I saw that on your website, and I figured that had a hand in this, because this kind of a project is not exactly easy to fund when you're doing something like this. And it's so important that you did that. And it's so important to be able to put this thing out. So you've got this show coming up, but then I also saw on your website, you've got something coming up in Milwaukee and a couple other performances with this same ensemble. I mean, preview a couple of those shows as well, because I know we have people watching this all over the country.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be in Madison at North Street Cabaret. That's through the organization Blue Stem up there.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of great work programming music for Madison. So we'll be there on September 10th with the full group. And then on September 11th, we're going to Milwaukee to play at a place called Bar Centro Club up there. And that'll just be with a quartet with Russ Johnson, Devin Drobka, and Leonard Simpson. And then that same quartet will go up to the Ice House in Minneapolis, and we'll play the music up there.
Wow.
Yeah, and we'll be back in Chicago with the full group in, I believe it's in February for the Evanston Township Festival.
Oh, for the jazz festival there. Yeah.
We'll be the featured artist at that festival as well.
Oh, that's
and hopefully we'll have something in Chicago before that, but we'll certainly be in Chicago then.
That's a great festival. And I'll tell you, you know, the thing about doing that festival is that you're around a lot of high school kids, and they're going to get to experience this. And, you know, some of them, most of them probably don't know the history of Charles Mingus, and they don't understand all the background of him outside of as a player. And this is going to really be able to open their eyes. That's what I love about festivals when they, for the high school festivals, especially when they bring groups in like yours, where you've got musicians that are actually performing, they're professionals, they're doing it. And then they're able to open their minds and experience something like this. So that's great, man. One more plug. So September 2nd, Friday, Jazz Fest, 4:15 at the Prixter Pavilion, Meditations on Mingus. It is out now on Sunnyside Records, of course, at ethanfillion.com. Ethan, thanks so much for jumping on. And I appreciate you working with my schedule. It was a little crazy past 2 days, but we made it happen before the Jazz Fest. And hopefully you stop by my booth when you're over there and say hi, because we're going to be over there as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And thank you for all the work you do for the scene here. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate that. And I also appreciate everybody here watching. And of course, there's more coming on Chicago Jazz Fest preview show. So stick around, watch the channel. All the information is on chicagojazz.com. And hopefully both Ethan and I will see you down at the Chicago Jazz Fest this weekend. See you then.